Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how was your Thanksgiving? I hope and pray that it was a day full of fellowship with friends and family and a remembrance of all that the Lord has done for you and worked in your lives over the last year. Oh, and on that note, Happy New Year. It is the new church year. Over the last couple weeks, since starting to prepare this sermon, a couple Mondays ago, beginning to do my own preparation, and a couple Thursdays ago, beginning to do the Greek preparation with our brother pastors in the area, my mind has been on what I could say of Thanksgiving concerning you. And yes, even on Thanksgiving Thursday, I was having some thoughts considering what I was going to say this morning in regards to my thankfulness for you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. One thing that I recalled was when I first got here, when I took my very first vacation and I returned, I was very pleased to hear the report that Pastor Gary Fortkamp gave concerning you. You see, not every congregation out there is so welcoming of a pastor or even a guest pastor. Sometimes when a guest pastor arrives, they do not receive a warm welcome or a welcome at all. And so I'm glad to hear the good report that he had for you when I returned. Another thing for which I am glad is when, as a very young candidate for shingles, I had shingles, and you were patient with me. You allowed me the time to quarantine myself that I needed, and you didn't complain about that. And in fact, some of you brought food to my very door because I did not have enough set aside at that time. Another thing for which I am very thankful. Last year also when, last month or a couple months ago, my memory's not where it needs to be, but when we had that welcome potluck for our new members, and you guys were so welcoming of them, and over the last couple of years where I've had that adult Bible instruction course, and when people would come in, you were so eager to greet them and meet them. And also then, I have to say something because, again, this morning, the adult Bible class has been big beyond my preparation, or beyond what I would have considered to be, to have, coming from the seminary. I knew that in my hometown church and other churches, it's normally a very small class, maybe 7 or 8 people, and to come and see two rows of tables filled, it was beyond what I could expect. And so I thank you for coming, for those of you who do come, and I extend the invitation. We have great conversations and discussions every Sunday morning at 9, so if you haven't come yet, I encourage you to do so. But thank you for those of you who have been coming. In this way, then, I can say, along with Paul and Timothy from our epistle text, for what thanksgiving can I return to God for you, for all the joy that I feel for your sake before our God? And you have a love and a genuine concern not only for your own pastor, but also for the ministry of the LCMS. In our narthex, we have a box overflowing with gifts for young men and women that you have never met who are attending seminary for the sole purpose of becoming pastor or missionary or deaconess. In addition, we have prayers every so often regarding our missionaries from this area and the one that you met in my absence, Pastor Fritchie and Pastor Kolb. We pray for them. And not only that, you have been sending funding to them and you keep them in your own prayers. Another thing for which I am thankful to God. For all of this, then, I am very thankful, not only on Thanksgiving, but also at all times. And I, with Paul and Timothy, hope and pray that God would continue to work in you to supply what is lacking in your faith. In his letter to the brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, Paul writes for Timothy and himself in giving thanksgiving for their encouraging work in supporting his ministry as he went about the region. Paul and Timothy had been going around throughout the known world at the time, not only in Jerusalem, but going beyond its borders to all areas, establishing and sustaining churches. Thessalonica was one of those churches. And shortly after departing from them, and I don't know if it was establishing them or just a visit to them, he receives this encouraging report from Timothy that they were doing so well and that they were growing in the ministry. And Paul couldn't help but write a letter to them, expressing his thanksgiving for their joy in their work in the ministry, and that he might see them again, and that they may see them face to face and supply what is lacking in their faith. There it is again, that phrase, what is lacking in their faith. To ask the good Lutheran question, what does that mean? Hadn't Paul and Timothy already trained those in Thessalonica in the true faith and taught them what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross of Calvary? Well, yes, they had indeed trained them just as you've been instructed through catechesis courses. Yet the Thessalonians still had more to learn, as do you, dear friends in Christ. As I tell my youth and adult confirmands, and here again reaffirm what I have said before, confirmation is not graduation. Don't get me wrong, your pastors and your current pastor have done their best to teach you all that Jesus has done for you and continues to do for you, and what Jesus has done for you on the cross of Calvary for your sins. And yes, your sins have been paid for in whole. Nevertheless, your faith is not yet completed. This is how pastors can say at the end of their sermons, "The Lord, who has begun this good work in you, will bring it to completion on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." Your faith is begun, but it is not yet completed. If you do not believe that, touch your body. Are you still alive in the flesh before Christ's coming? Are you still in the world where the devil prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour? Do you know that Satan will not stop this side of death or Christ's coming to get to you? Do you still continue to fall in sin or even desire to do so? If you answer yes to even one of those questions, then it has not yet been the day of the Lord. Jesus has not yet come again, and so your faith is not yet complete. Knowing then that our faith is not yet finished until His return, the following verses were the prayer and hope of Paul and Timothy for those in Thessalonica. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. How then does the Lord accomplish this good work in you? This growth in the faith and the love for one another. He accomplishes this great task through the word and sacraments, and the frequency of hearing and receiving them. Now, if you think you can get by without hearing God's word and receiving the sacraments He has prepared, consider the following. Paul and Timothy were writing to a group of people who most likely saw Jesus in His physical flesh when He was here teaching, and they could hear the very words from His own mouth. If any people should feel the need for not needing to hear the word or not needing to receive the sacrament, would it not be those who heard Jesus preach and teach Himself? And yet, what does it say in the book of Acts concerning the apostles' teaching? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see, despite seeing our Lord Jesus Christ in His very flesh and hearing from His word directly, they were overjoyed to come and hear His word, even on a daily basis, and to receive His good gifts, His very body and very blood, given for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of their faith. If they were so willing to gather together and to receive the hearing of the word and to receive the gifts that God has provided, and they had heard Jesus in the very flesh, how much more should we who have not? Now, granted, we do not gather every day as they did at those times, and we don't have to. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, "One person esteems one day better than another, while another esteems all days alike. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Yes, it was to the end that he might have you, that he might give you the forgiveness of sins, and that he might give you the gift of faith in which you continue to grow. That is the very purpose for which Jesus came into this world as the babe in the manger, the purpose for which he was baptized, and the purpose for which he died on the cross of Calvary for you. He went so that every sin that you have ever committed and every good that you have ever omitted, from despising or ignoring the teaching of his good word, or not loving your neighbor as you should, all has been paid for on the cross. But Jesus' death was for more than just that. He went to the cross and made you his own so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, even at his second coming. Here and now, through the victory won for us through our Lord Jesus Christ, we eagerly gather together and hear his word and receive his gifts. We hear now how we have failed, so that we might see all the more clearly how very much Jesus did in going to the cross for us, for you. And then we receive together his very body and his very blood, in with and under the bread and wine, that we might have that forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of our faith. Through God's Spirit, we know that both of these, the Word and the Sacrament, continue to teach us and lead us and guide us so that we may receive more of what is lacking in our faith. Yet because our faith is lacking, our earnest hope is that Jesus returns, and he returns soon with all of the saints. We pray that he comes to restore all that has been corrupted, even our very selves. And we desire that Jesus will come soon. Yes, we pray, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord who has begun this good work in you, bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.